Yeah, I love worship. I love when we, I just love when we go after it. And in that place and in that posture, there's things that God starts to reveal that really, it requires a certain environment, right? I mean, it requires a certain environment for him to entrust us with more revelation. Because if we're faithful in the small things, he'll give us what? He'll give us stewardship over larger things. And the Gospels even say this, that if we're faithful in the small things, he'll give us stewardship over larger things, even over cities. And man, on my heart this morning is our cities. It's our region. It's not that we just have a good time in here, but that, Lord, what you're doing in here, what you're doing in us and through us would transform our cities, because we're starting to sing about, Lord, let it be on earth as it is in heaven. We're declaring the nature of God to come and not just change my life, change our life, but change the lives of everyone around us. That is the gospel. That is the good news. That is the call that's on each and every one of our lives. So if you just join me for a moment, would you pray over your neighborhood, wherever you're from. Where I know we got visitors and stuff, so it's not just in the valley. It's wherever your neighborhood is. Would you start there? And just, I'm gonna give you 2 minutes, and I'm gonna turn my microphone off, and I'm gonna pray for my neighborhood. But I want you to pray for yours, and I don't want pause. Just hang on. Stop if you've started. Some of you are so eager, but this is I don't want this. I'm praying inside. That's great. You can do that. Like, that's okay. God still hears that. But what I want us to do this morning is to pray, and you don't have to yell. I mean, you don't have to scream. That doesn't change the heart of God. Our volume doesn't affect God. Just know that, our volume. But again, there's something that happens when we get excited, so our volume might increase. So I want you to pray verbally. I want you to verbalize it, and I want you to bless your neighborhood. Yeah, you could point out all the negativity, all the bad things, your neighbor's dog, your neighbor's whatever. Let's not do that either. Let's just bless them and begin to move out of this room before we ever get out of it. Amen? 2 minutes. Go for it. Bless your neighborhood. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the glory. Hallelujah. So now, if we're going to pray and intercede and be entrusted with revelation regarding our neighborhoods, then we're also going to have to expect that God's going to give us open doors, right? He's going to give us open doors. And that's why this is so important for us to understand the series we're in, Faith, Hope, and Love. Because if we grow cold in our love, if you were with us last Sunday in Matthew 24, we looked at the effect of sin in our life, sin in the life of the believer, the lawlessness established in us to where we're no longer repentant, we're no longer confessing, we're no longer in a posture of humility. If we let that lawlessness have access to create space between us and God, it will then create space between us and others. It will affect the way we view others. We will be a people that are crying out for God's leadership, wondering why nothing is happening. And again, if you weren't with us last week, you can check out our messages online, but I'm going to pick up right where we left off last week. But there's a few things I want to do before I get into that message, and it's simply this. As I was listening to the Lord this morning, and I was, enamored by the footprints all over the stage because of the dust and, the changes in the room, I realized that there are seasons in our life where we have to experience for the sake of our faith, for the sake of our growth, for the sake of our willingness to endure, to suffer, to persevere, to overcome, we have to experience the goodness of God and know that it's enough. He is the God El Shaddai. That word El Shaddai, we often translate into mighty one, but a better translation would be enough. He is the God who is enough. And so I want to pray over some of you in the sense that if you feel like you have not seen the God who is enough in your life, would you just raise your hand? If there's a situation that you're going through where, Lord, I need to know you are in this with me and that you are enough, not just by faith, but by evidence, by confirmation. I'm just asking you to be a little brave this morning and raise your hand. I'm not going to call you up. I'm not going to put a microphone in front of you, but I just want to testify to you and I want to join with you that he is enough. He is enough. And if you will allow him that access to whatever you're going through, and it's not because you're not, it's not because you're resistant, it's just changing the way you realize he wants to be known in your life. He is enough. He is the God Almighty who is enough. And he is the God that comes and says, enough is enough. And he shouts and declares on our behalf, enough is enough. And so I'm asking you, for those of you that were brave enough to raise your hand right now, to just visualize with me. I am changing places. I am changing places to where I am allowing Jesus to stand in front of me and declare to my circumstances and situation, enough. Enough is enough. We are done with this. And in that place, he will literally make room for you to advance. Come on. Now, is there anybody else that would like to raise their hand and get a second dose? Because sometimes we don't realize, where are we going with this? What's going on? If you're in a situation where you just need to shift your perspective and shift the reality of where Jesus is in your life regarding that situation, it starts with a statement of faith. Lord, you are in front of me, and you are El Shaddai, who is declaring, enough is enough. Enough is enough. And as we declare that, what then will open up for you and I, for us, is space to occupy, which was occupied by something else. Circumstances, worry, defeat. And it's changing the distance of that gap. Not because God stands off at a distance from us, but it's because he's called us to advance. He's called us to step in. He's called us to go. But there are obstacles, and we sang about them. And the God of breakthrough is saying to your situation, enough. Here's the other thing. How many of you realize that sometimes we can begin to tinker with things way too much? You know, it's that artist that's debating, do I do another brush stroke? Do I add another color? And there's a determination in going, you know what? This is enough. This is enough. And some of you also have to stand up and begin to recognize God is asking you to stop. He's asking you to realize it's enough. What you've done is enough. Now, don't mishear me today. Don't mishear me going, oh, you know what? I'm not calling that person back. Oh, you know what? I'm not going to work on forgiveness with that person. That is not the enough that God is talking about. What he's talking about is after you've done everything you need to do in his strength, you then have to trust him as God is enough. And when it's not enough, you then also trust him to obey when he says, hey, I need you to try again. I need you to do it this way. See, I'm that personality that wants the one-way highway. Like, I want it to be so obvious. No off-ramps, no stop signs, no lights. I just want, like, oh, Lord, this is the path, then that's easy. It's when all the other things come in and want to pull you this way and pull you that way that I find myself paralyzed at times going, ah, Lord, like, what path do I take? And yet he directs our steps, right? And so when he becomes the God of enough, when he's enough for me, and he's enough for the situation, all of a sudden what I find is rest. And where we see this is in creation. We see this on the seventh day. God is creating. 6 days of creation. Go read it. Genesis 1, Genesis 2. He's creating, he's creating, he's creating. And at some point, in all his goodness, in all his glory, in all his power, in all his might, he is the God who says, enough. I've done enough. And now I'm going to rest. And I'm going to rest in such a manner that what I have created is then going to fulfill and come up to the fullness of what I've created, God says. But oftentimes we find ourselves going, Lord, I should do more. I should sing longer. I should sing harder. I should get louder. I should give more. And that's all great. But if it falls outside of obedience to God, if it comes out of a place of not being intimate any longer, we have this phrase around here. Some of you are familiar with this. This is just something personally that the Lord spoke to me years ago, and I reiterate it. I want to empower you with it if you've never heard it or remind you of it, is that ministry, so the work, ministry, the evidence of my faith, ministry, the hands-on application of revelation, understanding, and wisdom. When I do it, the ministry, the actual application of the Word of God, the Rhema Word of God, the Red Word of God, the revelation of God. When I engage it and do something with it, ministry is supposed to be the overflow of intimacy. Meaning that I'm not doing anything outside of what I've already intimately come to know and discover and hear and want to experience. And where we're at in our ministry is often an indicator of where we're at in our intimacy. And here's the thing. Some of us are doing ministry and we hate it. We are burnt out. We're grumpy. We're not really pleasant to be around. Josh Layton, where are you? How old are you, Josh Layton? 82. 82 years old. Can I tell you this morning, the ministry that I got to have with you setting up chairs is an indicator of your intimate relationship with God. And it was awesome. And I want to thank you for coming in. You know, we didn't put a call out. We had to set up this morning because they were here yesterday. But just setting up chairs with you at 82, you said? 82 years old, revealed to me a level of intimacy that this man has stewarded over however long he's been born again. I don't know. But what I also could be sure of, I don't know for sure, is that there were times in his life where there were probably things being done outside of any intimacy, and it's just duty, right? But when you hang out with someone long enough and you begin to minister alongside them, you find out their motive, you find out their character, you find out their values, you find out what drives them. And again, what we are called to is to recognize that the God of enough has called us into a place of intimate rest, and out of that intimate rest, you and I get to engage in ministry. Amen? And so there's a few of you, I know this is not the word, this is not the message, I won't keep you long, I'll take you through a few verses, but I just want to pray over a few of you. So what is your name, if you don't mind me asking? You're sitting next to Dennis. Jesse. So I saw you walk in the door. I don't know what's going on in your life, but I want to encourage you. I saw a giant basket of fruit just kind of hanging over your head this morning. I mean, literally, it distracted me to the where I saw you walk in the door. I don't recognize you. I don't know if you've been here before, Jesse. But I just wanted to encourage you. Like, there is an abundance of fruitfulness that I feel like the Lord is just getting ready to deposit. So I don't know if you've been laboring. I don't know if you've been having, do you have any back issues or back pain? Like a back injury at all? Yeah, is it bothering you today at all? Oh, can we pray for that? Because I felt like you've been, that song we sang about the yoke, transferring the yoke of the world off of us. Because again, when I saw the fruit basket, I just thought, oh my gosh, like there's all this abundance of goodness that you've been collecting. And God has just been storing up for you. And I just felt like, oh, the back is probably a little burdened. And so I didn't know if that was a true word or just something to pray for you. So was it an injury by chance or just something, just an irritated back? Okay, well, praise God, because Jesus, he knows how to fix it, and we'll just trust him. So Dennis, do you mind laying hands? And Christina, do you mind just, are you okay if we put some hands on you? Yeah, okay. So in the name of Jesus, we thank you for Jesse this morning. Father, we thank you for the beauty of the abundance of fruitfulness that you have. And I just think of the fruit as something of a promised land. So if you're contending for promises, if you're going after certain promises and they just feel delayed or you feel burdened by them or certain by them, we just thank you that, Lord, today you are the God of enough, and you are declaring an open space for her to begin to eat the fruit of her works, to eat the fruit of your goodness. And we speak to this back pain, and we say, be gone in the name of Jesus. We say, no more distractions, no more hindrances. By the blood of Jesus, she is healed, and we thank you in the name of Jesus. I'm sorry, Jesse. Do you have back pain now? I think I asked you. No, that's okay. No pressure. But I do want you to test it. And I'll catch you after service or, you know, whatever. But I want you to be encouraged. Now, does any of that word, like, confuse you or not make sense to you? Okay, awesome, because sometimes I get going and I forget what I'm saying or I get distracted. And so I just want to be clear that, again, I just see this picture of this giant basket of fruit, and I think it's what God is wanting to bring you into as far as a promise. And so whatever you've been praying into, whatever you've been holding on to, as far as promises and desires, I'm praying that we're going to hear testimony of some things changing and opening up for you. Amen? Amen. And I know I've met you a few times in the lime green shirt. What is your name again? Autumn? Yes, that's right, Autumn. Thank you for being here. So Autumn, as I got up, if you can picture an arrow, so the picture of an arrow, I felt like the Lord has called you to be a point, to be the point of the arrow. And I think there's a tendency sometimes, and again, you got to weigh this, work with Roz, you test all this, all of you test this. I think there's sometimes to think that it's okay to linger in the back. But here's the beauty of what God, I think, is doing in your life. He's shifting your perspective and understanding to realize he wants you to be the point. And the beauty of the point is that sometimes you have to be the one that breaks open or cuts open or punctures or pushes through, and that's probably not always a pleasant thing. But the other reality of it is that you get to be first. And I just feel like a season of being first is upon you in such a manner that where you felt like you were last, you were overseen, you were neglected, you feel disqualified or incapable, whatever the circumstances may be, or whatever those voices are saying to you, I believe today that the Lord wants you to understand, I've called you first. I've called you by name, and I've called you out, and He is the one that controls the bow, and so He's the one that's going to point the direction where you're supposed to go. He's the one that's going to set the target, and He's going to hit the target because He never misses. All you have to do is accept the fact that He loves you, and that if He's called you to be the point, there may be some uncomfortable feeling and uncomfortable pressure of like hitting that target first, you know, head on. But I guarantee you, the beauty of who you are in the eyes of our beloved God is someone who says, I see you, and I've called you out first. And so I say to you, in the name of Jesus, however that resonates, I see it kind of getting a little emotional, so does it resonate with you a little bit? Okay, I want you to really pray into, like, Lord, first of what? So first out of the family, first out of whatever situation, you know, first, and again, that breakthrough moment, that breaking forth, that being first is a forerunner. It requires a little bit more work. You're going to want accountability. But the other thing it does is it then shows the way. So I pray for all those that are going to come upon your heels, that are going to come in the aftermath as you let the Lord lead and you become first, begin to recognize the beauty of His name in your life. Amen? Amen. Where did Ben go? I saw Ben earlier. Oh, Ben. Sneaky. Although you kind of always sit in the same area, so I should have known. I walked past you this morning, and I just briefly said Ben, just in a greeting. I felt the Lord say, don't do that again, Jeff. And I felt it in sense of I shouldn't do that, but I also want you to hear the Lord say that He sees you, and He's not going to let people just walk past you anymore, because you have the ability to see others that's unique. And it's like the Father sees the Son, and it's almost to the place where I sensed in my spirit as I kind of walked away and just was convicted, like, oh, here's a man who knows how to identify danger. Here's a man who knows how to identify the consequences of poor choices. And it's like a father looking after their kids. There might be a little bit of distance, but you have your eyes on them. And I just want to apologize and say, forgive me for just walking past you. And it wasn't intentional, but I have a conviction. And I also feel it identifies with others that have just walked past you. They haven't maybe valued you the way you think that maybe you should. And I think there's humility in you. But I believe that it's even deeper to where I think the Lord is going to start to bring you up into a greater prominence. And I pray protection over your heart. I pray protection over your mind as He does that. But it's because you carry an ability to see things a certain way. And it's super important. It's not limited, it's not singular, don't get stuck in a box, but be encouraged today just recognizing that He's graced you with the ability to look at situations in such a manner that where we should all be careful of knowing what the warning is, we then need to also be hearing from who's carrying the warning and who's carrying the discernment. And so I establish today that I recognize that in your life, and I will be listening, and I give you permission to come and say, hey, these are some things that I see, and I don't expect a critical spirit. I don't expect a spirit of opposition. What I really expect is a father's heart just going, I want the best for my kids, and I can see where things can begin to shift and move, and I pray that goes beyond just this building. I pray that into your life. I pray that into your family, and I pray that into the desires of your heart. Amen? Does that witness to you or stand out? Does that confuse you? Okay, amen. And if it does, you can talk to Pastor Mike, and he'll totally, you know, he will clear all that up for us this morning. So here's the thing. All of us have access. Does that mean that God's not speaking to the rest of you? No, it just so happens to be what I was paying attention to this morning. I probably missed a whole lot of other things too, simply just because of the way my life works and the way my mind works and what I give attention to. But what I want us to know is that the God of enough wants to speak to us. He wants to speak to us intimately, because out of that intimacy should flow ministry, should flow an evidence of fruitfulness, should flow an evidence of having place to where I know I'm recognized and I have value to say what I feel like is said. You know, it's to that place of recognizing, Lord, I'm going to go first. When I look at the line and realize nobody else is moving, I'm willing to go. We prayed this morning for our neighbors. The God of enough is wanting to move in your neighborhood, but He's wanting to move in your neighborhood through you. And some of us, we disqualify ourselves because we look at our neighbors and we go, God, send somebody to them. You know, send, you know, they need Jesus, you know, and Jesus is looking at you and I going, I know. So what are you waiting for? You know, and it's that constant tension. And there's no shame. There's no condemnation this morning. We're talking about faith, hope, and love. And if you have a Bible, turn to Matthew 24. We decided to start this year off, and I know we're like halfway through February, going after faith, hope, and love. And I'm going to give you another message on faith. But what I want you to be aware of is recognizing that we're not talking about faith in like, will that seat hold you? We're not talking about a faith of like, oh, you know, I'm faithful to watch, you know, The Bachelorette every Thursday night at 7 p.m. or, you know, I don't know, I'm making that up. But, you know, some of you have your faithfulness to things, you know. I'm faithful to frequent the refrigerator at least, you know, 4 to 5 times a day. But that's not the type of faith we're talking about. We're talking about faith in Jesus. So one of the things you'll see me distinguish today as we're getting into this is that I'm talking about faith in Jesus, faith in God, faith in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Because yes, we can have faith in other things, but at the end of the day, the faith that we want to cultivate, the faith that God wants to grow up in us through the power of His Word and the presence of His Spirit is a faith in Him, Jesus Christ. And so as we look at faith this morning, what I'm wanting to reestablish and make sure we have a foundation of is Matthew 24. So look at this verse with me. Matthew 24, just verse 10 and 14. I expanded a little bit last week. You can go listen to that. But it says, at that time, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and mislead many because lawlessness is increased. And we looked at lawlessness last week in 1 John 3:4. Lawlessness will increase, which means sin, and most people's love will grow cold. And I intentionally put the word love up there in agape. It says, but the one who endures... and we'll break down that word in a minute, to the end, he will be saved. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations till the end. So there's three words in this verse that I want you to see. I don't know, can we get that on the screen? Sweet, all right. Well, if you have a Bible, open it up. And here's three words. Last week we looked at lawlessness. It's the nature of sin. It's that which separates us and creates distance. 1 John 3:4, we looked at that, and it simply says that, again, everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. The second word in this verse that I want you to just pay attention to and we'll develop later on is the word love. And the type of love we're talking about is agape love. It's the type of love that literally translates as charitable. It's the type of love that we attribute to God's character. God is love. He is agape love. And it's specifically a type of love that when we break it down in the Greek, we find that it's a word that's referencing a pure, willful, sacrificial love that is established by choice. I am choosing to love you. I am choosing, no matter what is known and unknown, what you will do or you don't do, I am choosing to love you. Is the type of agape love that we find relating to the Father. In the Hebrew, if you're familiar with the word, it's the word hesed. We looked at this last week. It's the loving kindness of God. It's that steadfast love that no matter what the circumstance or situation is, He is faithful to be the God of love. He doesn't just have love, He is love. And then the third word here is the word endure, hupopuno, which is a Greek word. And it literally means this, to be under. So the love, the agape love, the choice to love others no matter what the circumstance is going to grow cold because of the presence of sin. And we're not talking about the world. Jesus has put the context right here in this room. He's saying that you and I will be tempted or deceived, as we looked at last week, to let our love grow cold because we don't deal with the lawlessness that is in our life. And last week we established that most of that lawlessness comes out of an understanding of seeing an unjust act and not knowing how to deal with it. But this morning I want to camp out on the word endure, because this word endure is the key or the cornerstone to how we keep from growing cold. And it means to stay under. He who stays under, she who stays under, the believer who stays under the Word of God, who stays under the truth of God, who lets the weightiness of God, can't be moved by what the world is saying. So what you and I have to understand as we develop our faith, as we pursue growing in our faith, we have to ask ourselves, what are we doing to strengthen our faith in Jesus? And it's a weird word picture, but what literally is happening is that idea of lifting a weight, bench pressing. The way you and I strengthen our faith is to get under a weight, and not the weight of the world, but the weight of the word, the weight of Jesus, and to start to do the reps. Now, some of us in this room, this is all new to us, and so we might not be able to put a lot of weight on that dumbbell, on that barbell. We might be stuck with dumbbells. Others of you, you've got, you know, spiritual muscles and faith that, like, you know, the plates are just stacked on there and you're just pumping them out. And that's awesome. But the other idea in that picture, if you're familiar with a weight room or a gym, is the spotter, right? So when we try to go with a weight that's more than we're comfortable with or more than we are familiar with, we, you know, a wise person would have a spotter, and that spotter's there to help catch the weight if it becomes too much, to get you out of the situation. And the greatest spotter that God could give us is himself through his Spirit. So Holy Spirit is our spotter. He comes and goes, hey, we're pumping this weight. We're lifting this weight. We're building an endurance. We're staying under the word. But the other thing that he has called us to is to be spotters for others, to come alongside a Josh and Tiffany and go, what weight of truth, what are you working out right now that you might need a little bit of help? And we call this discipleship. We give somebody else permission to help spot or be in our life to help guide and direct some things that we're working out, right? Mentor, counselor, those are other words, but it's discipleship. So imagine the 12 disciples, they're all called, and Jesus begins to put the weight of his word on them. He begins to put the weight of his ministry on them. He begins to put the signs and the wonders. Do you think they were just like, oh yeah, this is great? I love this. This is easy, Jesus. When's the hard work going to begin? Absolutely not. They were probably, I mean, they were freaking out, you know, and all the other disciples that, you know, tried to come along, and, you know, Peter comes up and John, and they're saying, hey, Jesus, that's a tough word. Like, look around you, man. We left everything for you. And Jesus is like, yeah, but your reward, the blessings are going to be there. And we know, some of us, you know, we've gotten into situations and we've worked through that, and we come alongside someone else and we see them in that situation. And for us, it's like, that's no problem. That's easy. But that can also be discouraging, because for them, it's a new weight. It's a new truth. It's a new experience. Oftentimes, if you're going to survive around here at Echo Hills, we're going to challenge you every Sunday to recognize there's a new weight. There's a new expression. And it's not just physical. It's not just carpet. It's not just chairs. It's not just stage. I mean, it's a spiritual reality. And can I just say thank you on behalf of myself and Pastor Mike and our staff and leadership? Because when we get together as leaders and we talk about what God is doing, I mean, there's an excitement, because we feel like, oh, we were doing pretty good. We were able to pump those reps out. And now it's like, oh, new plates, new weights on there. And there's a part of me that's going, Lord, I don't know. But at the same time, it's like, yeah, come on. Because I only know this is going to make me better. This is going to make us better. We're going to be better because we allow the weight, the endurance to be established. And so the question I have for you is, how do you strengthen your faith? Can you think of a time in your life when your faith was going through trouble? Like, what did you do to strengthen your faith? I mean, just recall for just a moment. Lord, I just pray memory to come spinning back. Lord, remind us, like, what do we do to build our faith? How are you strengthening your faith? And here's a few things that if you're not doing this, if this is new to you, it's reading the word. It's coming back to the actual weight that we're supposed to be carrying. Read it, memorize it, get into a Bible study, dissect it, chew on it, tear it apart, ask questions. Prayer. Are you engaged in prayer? Are you asking the Lord to give you wisdom, give you understanding? Are you in fellowship? Are you connecting with others that is going to sharpen and hone those areas that God is putting his finger on, saying, we need to deal with this? And oftentimes we don't grow our faith in that area because it's a vulnerable place and we're afraid, we're insecure, we don't know if we can trust those people or that individual, I've been wounded, I don't know what to do. And God is saying, I need you to get under the weight of my word. I need you to get under the weight of those that are carrying my word. And we need to be people that can come into a situation and yes, we make our presence known, but we don't overwhelm that person. We don't overwhelm that reality. Listen, I love verses and scriptures, and yet I've had to learn, Lord, because of the environments I run in and the places that I go, quoting a verse with the address isn't always necessary. But saying the verse or paraphrasing it without losing its power or compromising its integrity can be a message of hope. And I'll have people ask me, like, that's really good. Where'd you get that? And if they give me, you know, if they ask, then I figure all holding back is done. Like, oh, well, that's a verse. That's a Bible verse. What Bible? The only Bible I know, you know, that's the Christian Bible. I'm a Christian. And I rarely tell people I'm a pastor if they don't know. Because then it gets weird. You know, and it's okay. But it's stopping and realizing, where can I go? What weight can they handle? What can they endure in this moment? And then I trust the Lord. So what are you doing to strengthen your faith? And there's three things I want to look at this morning, and I'm just going to walk you through this. Is what does it mean to have faith? So as we strengthen our faith, we have to have a foundation of what does it mean to have faith? And we get this out of Hebrews 11:1. There's lots of verses we could look at, but Hebrews 1:11 says this. It says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Now, if that doesn't make any sense to you, let me just break it down. So faith is a substance of things hoped for. This is why faith, hope, and love are so important and why they're connected. So faith is connected to hope, and hope is connected to love, and love is connected to hope and faith. And so we see them all intertwined and intertangled here. But faith is the substance of things hoped for. So there's something to it. There's evidence. So here's the picture I have for you this morning. Last Sunday's message, I was journaling on Monday morning, and the Lord just opened up this little picture for me because I was writing about harvesting, and I'm going to close with a verse this morning about harvest. And as I'm writing in my journal, writing these things out, I all of a sudden have this picture. And it's in the grocery store, all the apples are stacked up, right? And they're perfect, and they're pristine, and they're all similar in size. And it's just this, you know, you go into a grocery store, and the apples are all lined up. And I was like, oh, praise God. Yes, Lord, let the harvest be plentiful. Let it be so easy picking. You know, let it be all laid out for us. And oh, thank you, Jesus. And literally, as I'm writing that with this visualization, it like the picture vanishes, and I see this gnarly apple tree. And some of it looks like some of the stuff on my in-law's farm property and just some apple trees and apple orchards I've been in. And I can't explain it. It just overtook my vision and my peripheral vision. And I just thought, oh no. Like, please let the harvest not be like this. Like, that is way more work. Like, the thought of picking apples and getting up on the ladder. And then, you know, I don't know if any of you have gone apple picking, but like, you know, we pick apples and make applesauce. Like, you save everything. I mean, you cut out the bad spot, but it's like if it's on the ground, you find a way to use it. You know, if it's some of it's easy, low picking fruit, others of it, it's like you have to get in there. And the apple orchard trees, you know, they've got a little bit of a scratch to them, and like you're reaching in there, and none of them are symmetrical. Like, none of them are perfect. You know, I mean, and I'm thinking like, oh Lord, what are you saying to me? And it's the reality of, I want you to see the harvest for what it is. I need you to be under the weight of reality, Jeff, right now, that as much as you want to step into church and look at everybody sitting in a nice row, everybody lined up, everybody sitting with a smile, everybody's just ready to receive the word, everybody's ready to do whatever you say, the reality is there's chaos. There's 120 people in here, and there's 120 different realities, and within each of those realities, there's all the other issues we carry. You know, and then we start service, and there's people running around, and flags waving, and shofars blowing, and some people that can clap on rhythm, and some people like me that can't, you know. Some people that stand closer to the speaker so I can sing a little louder and find out that I'm singing a little too loud because I can hear my voice echoing this morning. And it's like all that reality is the picture of this apple tree in an apple orchard, and that's what we've been called to harvest. And as much as I want the grocery store experience of walking in and going, oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you for Josh. Thank you for Tiffany. Thank you for Jacob. Thank you for Jacqueline. Thank you for Elijah. Thank you for Teresa. You know, just like, let's harvest. God is going, I love you, but it's going to take a little bit more, Jeff. And what you and I have to realize is that when we get under that word, under that truth of what it looks like to harvest and start to do the reps, all of a sudden there's a joy. Like, I remember picking apples in the apple orchards of Jacqueline's grandparents, you know, when we first moved back, and we're picking cherries and stuff. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is, you know, God bless those that love this work. You know, I love the applesauce, but, you know, there's another picture we could go off on. Like, oh, just give me the applesauce. You know, well, who's making the applesauce? Who picked the apples? Like, Jeff, that's all part of the calling. That's what you and I are called to be careful of not growing cold in. Lord, I don't want to stop picking the apples. I don't want to stop entering the orchard simply because I don't like the apple trees. Or I don't like where the apple trees are located. Or whose backyard. Or, you know, all those things that just get in our way. And so what does it mean to have faith in Jesus? It means you have a substance. Meaning, I believe that we're supposed to harvest, so I'm going to go after the apples on the apple tree. I believe that there's a substance that you are called to go after. A faithfulness that has evidence, a substance that if you're here today and you realize that, Lord, I'm sitting in a situation where I just need you to say enough is enough, the substance of faith is, Lord, I am here and I need somebody to join with me and get in front of me and say enough is enough. That is the substance of our faith. That's the evidence. Showing up to church, yes, is a substance of our faith, but that's such a small substance. And in a lot of ways, it's not even a great substance. You know, it's like cutting out the bruises of the apple. I mean, nothing goes to waste, but at the same time, if we're banking everything on Sunday morning service, like as our expression of faith, hope, and love, then we are falling way short. And so the call and the encouragement is be equipped here, but then go do the work of the ministry. Serve here so that then you can go serve outside. So how do we get to this place of defining our faith? Well, that's not even my question. It says, where does our faith in Jesus come from? Sorry. The next question here, our faith in Jesus comes out of this revelation that he's the author and perfecter. So Hebrews 12:2 says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So we come to this place where we recognize that Jesus is going to author our faith. If we're honest about how to strengthen our faith, we have to come back to the author of that faith. We have to come back to Jesus and go, Lord, I need you to perfect a faith in me regarding the situation. And how does he do that? The word author here is an interesting word because its rendering, its original Greek, simply means the initiator, the processor, the pioneer, the leader, the forerunner, the originator. So if you're in a situation and you're feeling like, oh man, I'm struggling with my faith, you need to go back to the one who gave you the faith in the first place and say, Jesus, I need faith in this. I need you to help me through this situation. Many of you are familiar, in 2005, the Lord called my wife and my family out of Hawaii to come back to Lewiston. We planted a church in Hope Chapel. I can tell you, I was not interested in the author perfecting my faith in that season. Like, I didn't want to believe the word. I didn't want to respond to the confirmation. And I had no problem sitting there stubbornly going, Lord, I'm listening to a different author. The author of self is saying, stay in Hawaii. Enjoy the rest of your life. Disobey God. He'll still bless you. You know, it's those dumb things we say and we begin to author our own story. And Jesus is so good and patient. And he blesses me with an incredible wife and family who are listening to the authorship of Jesus going, hey, Jeff, like if we disobey, if we don't go, it's going to be really bad. I'm like, let's find out. Let's find out how, we're in Hawaii. How bad could really bad be? Come on. You know, and you know, I say that joking, but in the moment, there was such a wrestling. Like, oh, Lord, really? This is what you want to author in my life? This is what you're trying to perfect in me? Like, this is the next stage? This is the story? Like, can we get a new script? Can we get somebody else to come in and edit this and say, hey, you know what? I made a mistake, Jeff, stay in Hawaii. You know, it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be awesome. I mean, I'm a little moved. Lord, I honestly saw my life totally different in that moment. And I wrestled with, Lord, I can't see what you see. I don't understand why. Like, Lord, I just give me more time, because the time frame, he was like pulling the rug out from under the carpet. I mean, like, it just was frustrating. Like, Lord, give me another year. Like, I'll be ready in a year. And he wouldn't let me settle. And what I can look back on now and be so moved by is, Lord, thank you. Thank you for getting me out of there. And not just because it was all bad or things, I mean, things got bad, but things shifted. And it's like, I mean, did God know that? I mean, I think he did. I believe he did. You know, but I wanted to know that. Like, Lord, show me why you're moving my family and I. Give me like, again, the confession of my heart. The first day, it's like, Lord, give me 100 reasons. Day two is like, Lord, I need 1,000 reasons. You know, a week later, Lord, I'm not satisfied with any of those reasons, so I'm going to keep asking for more reasons, right? I mean, my faith is being tested. I'm under the weight. I'm trying to endure, because what I was struggling with was the tension of knowing I'm growing cold. I'm growing cold. And if I'm growing cold under just the word of God saying, I need you to move from Hawaii back to Lewiston, I mean, imagine what would happen if I hadn't persevered and the Lord now says, hey, I want you to merge with Valley Christian Center. Hey, I need you and Mike to navigate COVID together. Like, no way. I'm not, let them navigate on their own. We will survive. You know, and the beauty of that is, in the moment, it's like, Lord, I'm going to do what I think I know is best according to your word. And I'm going to seek counsel, and I'm going to seek wisdom, and I'm going to put myself in a place where, Lord, I want you to author my faith. And it's a simple prayer. If you're in a situation struggling, it's like, Lord, I know you to be the author and perfecter of my faith. Come and be that. Last question I have for you is, how do we obtain a faith in Jesus? And in Romans 10:17, we find a couple verses in chapter 10, and I'm going to give you verse 17. It says, so faith comes from what? Hearing. And hearing by what? The word of Christ, the word of the anointed one. Faith comes by hearing the word. And not just this written word, but the word of people's testimony. You know, Josh got up and he gave us a quick testimony of this tent movement that happened in the 1940s and the Pentecostal dancing and singing and all that kind of stuff. And some of you are familiar with the Azusa Street Revival and Smith Wigglesworth and William Seymour and all these patriarchs and matriarchs of faith. And we can look back on them and go, thank you, Lord. Thank you for those men and women. Thank you for their faithfulness. But God isn't wanting us just to celebrate them. He's wanting us to celebrate each other. Thank you for being here this morning. Thank you for enduring. Thank you for being patient. Thank you for putting up with the changes and the things going on in here. Thank you for, again, serving. Thank you for worshiping. Thank you for allowing there to be a tension. Some of us avoid tension. Some of us avoid, and I'm not talking confrontation. I'm just talking like the tension of like, what's going to happen? What's going to happen next? You know, why are they doing that? Who's allowing that to happen? Thank you for allowing the tension. Because one of our heart's desire around here is to see what God can do when we submit ourselves. And yet it has to be in the context of faith, hope, and love. Amen. So how do we obtain this faith? We attain this faith by hearing. Romans 10:9, you can back up a little bit in the verse, and it says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So we come into faith through confession. We remain in faith through confession. We stay in this posture of recognizing that Jesus is the author. And so here's the story out of Matthew 9. And the question is, what are we to do with our faith? Because it's not enough just to know we're to have faith. It's not enough to come and attend and have our faith strengthened and encouraged. We have to know what to do with it. And there's a lot of verses we could look at, but this is the verse I want to give you. This is Matthew 9:35-38. And this is Jesus, and he's going out through all the cities and the villages. He's teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. And he's healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Seeing the people, he felt compassion for them. This is that love. This is that agape. I'm allowing myself to choose to see the situation for what it is. And what he describes, or what Matthew describes Jesus seeing, is that they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. I need you, we need each other to help in seeing the reality of a situation, to recognizing where there's distress and a dispirited nature, where there's a wandering, where there's a woundedness. Because I guarantee you, if we don't reconcile that today, if we don't reconcile that with intentionality, it will be part of engaging the lawlessness that could potentially lead us to a place of coldness for one another. And I know we've been wounded. I know some of you have been really wounded, and some of you are wrestling through situations. And I don't ever want to just assume that I understand. But at the end of the day, I know Jesus does. And we need to let people into our life that can help author a faith as Jesus speaks, that carries the burden of helping us apply our faith unto the gospel being preached. Seeing the people, he left them. He felt compassion on them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, so he's saying this to us today, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech, ask, go after, contend, be relentless in the pursuit of the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest." You and I are called to take our faith and beseech the Lord to become laborers in the harvest. And whose harvest is it? It's his harvest. So if any of us are glory seekers or self-promoters or wanting the name tag or the promotion or the badge, I guarantee you the Lord will weed you out through love and correction, through rebuke, through a withholding, because he needs workers who recognize it's his harvest. And as I pick that apple, all I have to do is make sure it gets in the barrel. And sometimes the right barrel. Oh, there's a little bit, you know, damaged, a little bit more bruised. Those go in this barrel. But they have place and they have value. We let the Lord take care of separating them out. Ooh, that sounds familiar. The day of judgment, right? We let the Lord determine. All you and I are called to do is take our faith in such a posture and a position through faith, hope, and love that, Lord, I'm going to the harvest. And where you have to ask the Lord specifically is, Lord, show me the harvest field. Show me where I'm supposed to go, because it's not all going to be the same for all of us. As we move forward, as we continue to contend in the Spirit, as we begin to continue to discern the activity of God, the glory of God, the shift in the atmosphere, the engagement of worship, the response to the Word, what I need you to recognize and what I'm hoping you'll hear my heart say today, and Pastor Mike is in agreement, is that there is no idolatry that is going to be allowed. And what I mean by that is, if Grady's the worship leader this morning, we're not sitting there going, "Grady's got it. I hope he's up every Sunday." Or last week, Jacqueline was up. Debbie's up next week. You know, we're not looking at an individual. We're not settling for an old mindset that settles on this idolatry of, you know what, they're the ones. They're the holy hands. They've got the hot hands. Let's get all behind them. What God is after is harvesters who are going after the harvest. Everybody doing their part. And what happens often, and what we read in history, and we can dialogue with other churches, in the midst of revival, in the midst of awakening, in the midst of changing atmospheres, is that the reason they're not sustained, the reason they don't become sustainable, is because the burden of contending for that, the weight of what started off as, "Lord, I'm just going after truth, and I'm just doing the reps with truth," all of a sudden becomes the weight of the world, the weight of man's expectation, the expectation that this Sunday has to look as good as last Sunday, and next Sunday better be better than the last two Sundays. And, you know, who's ever preaching the Word, "Jeff, you better be preaching the Word because you're carrying whatever," or, "You know what, we need to get Mike up there more often," because, and what we are surrendering to is the leading of the Spirit that goes, "Lord, I did my part. What's next?" Because I got up last Sunday, and Mike gets done and goes, "Hey, I think you should preach again next Sunday because I think there's more to what you're carrying." Okay. And yet, at the same time, we've gone and I've said, "Hey, Mike, take the month of October. I mean, you're carrying a lot in that Word. Give yourself some time." You know, we come to Josh and Jennifer, and there's these different issues that again, we just recognize, "Lord, what's the voice that's necessary?" And if it looks like we're waning, like this week wasn't as good as last week, we don't judge it based on an individual. We take responsibility to go, Lord, the faith that I have is to see your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So I'm asking you to guard your faith as we advance in such a manner that your faith isn't appropriated towards a single person, but that it's built on and written by Jesus Christ alone. It'll be easy some days you'll walk in and you'll just feel it. I mean, especially for those feelers. Like, you'll just feel it. Like, oh man, I feel the presence of God. It's so easy what's been going on. There'll be other days where you'll walk in and go, man, I don't feel like it felt last Sunday. And if we go based on just our feelings, I guarantee you we're not under the weight that God wants. We're under the weight of man, the weight of emotions, the weight of, you know, familiarity. And so the conviction I'm asking you to join with me in is that, Lord, as we advance, as we grow, as we feel a momentum, as we get under the weight and have the spotters in place and celebrate the diversity and the uniqueness of one another, that we don't settle. That we don't settle and begin to create idols. Idols on a person, idols on one song, idols even on one word. You know, I love the word miracle. And we've had seasons that we've gone after miracles, and I believe that proximity and intentionality produce fruit. And so if we want to grow in miracles, we should be intentional about talking about miracles, going after miracles, praying about miracles. But if we think only miracles are going to get us into heaven, then we've missed the message. Do you understand? Do you hear my heart? And so I want to send you out today in such a manner that you recognize that Jesus wants to author your faith. He wants to stand, it wasn't part of my original word, but this thought of he wants to be enough for you. He wants to get you in a posture where you're looking forward. And you're looking and recognizing, you're looking and recognizing at the things that God has set before you. And you're not missing them because of the distractions, right? You're not missing them because the road seems so plentiful and you don't know which one to choose. So would you stand with me as we close this morning? And I'm going to pray this over you. This is Ephesians 3, 14. Hey, buddy. Yeah. 14:3. And it starts like this. It'll be, I don't know if it'll be on the screen, but I want to pray this and you can read it this week. So Heavenly Father, I thank you. For this reason, we bow our knees before you, Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. That Jesus, you would grant us, according to the riches of your glory, a strength with power through your Spirit in my inner man, so that Christ may dwell in my heart and others' hearts through faith. And that, Lord, I would be rooted and grounded in your love, that I may be able to comprehend with all the other saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth. That, Lord, we would know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. That we may be filled with the fullness of God. Father, it is our desire to know you. To know you, Jesus, who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we could ever ask or think. And that it would be done according to the power of you, Holy Spirit, at work within us. So, Jesus, we give you all the glory. All the glory in the church belongs to you. And in you, Jesus Christ, all the generations that will know your glory, it all belongs to you forever and ever. And so we bless your holy name this morning. And we go out here today, Lord, with a power and an understanding of who we are in you, that we were made for love. And as ones who are made for love, we get to be the ambassadors and the carriers of love. And Father, we declare today, guard our hearts from any sin or lawlessness that would cause us to grow cold towards you or towards others. And so we thank you in the name of Jesus. And if you're here this morning and you feel like, man, I just don't know what to do next, I want to invite you, when we're all done and we dismiss people, come forward. We'll pray for you. We'll be your spotter today. Some of you, I even ask Holy Spirit right now, put people on our mind that we need to call and just check in on. Find out where they're at, what they're going through, what they're enduring through. So we welcome you, Holy Spirit, to send us out today as laborers in the harvest, singing a song, singing our way through breakthrough, singing our way into greater praise, recognizing that you are good no matter what my circumstance says or portrays. And so we bless you in the name of Jesus, Lord. Amen. God bless you. You got a bulletin this morning. There's some announcements in it. We'll see you next Sunday. Hopefully we'll have carpet. If you are wanting some of that extra prayer, please feel free to come forward. We'd love to pray for you. Otherwise, God bless you, and we'll see you next Sunday.